So here we are for another Redmond conversation, and this is about cloud optionality, like what's going on in multi-cloud and so on. I'm super happy to have a guest today, Betty Juno from VMware, director of multi-cloud services from them. I was going to ask you, like, what's your role? But I guess I just said what your role is. So what is a director of multi-cloud?
Hey, James, so glad to be here. And what we have at VMware is we have solutions. And so multi-cloud is a solution area. And it's and we work with the individual product teams. So, you know, we have their, you've talked to them before. We have teams that are responsible for very distinct products. And within the cloud portfolio, we have all the innovations we've had within the private cloud side, you know, vSphere, VCF. And then we've also been doing things within the realm of like taking things to AWS, Azure, Google, Oracle, IBM, you name it. And all of that also with the management portfolio. So when you look at all of that, the multi-cloud solutions team is really a way to kind of look at what are the things that touch multi-cloud. Mm-hmm. They could be VM-based, non-VM-based, container-based, native within the cloud. And how can we look at that and help customers solve their problems or their address their needs within cloud? So that's okay,
Let's talk about multi-cloud then, because I sort of feel like, did multi-cloud eat hybrid cloud? Like, certainly from the articulation you just gave, you're using that as a catch-all for everything. Like, the customer, like, what's happening with the customer? Like, what's the difference between multi-cloud, hybrid cloud? Does it matter?
Yeah, and you know what I see is actually that's there's a varying set of definitions out there depending on who you talk to, the different authorities.
We're the authorities.
Yes,
right here, we're the authorities.
But if we take a customer point of view, you know, multi-cloud is cloud now. Right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so long ago that, you know, cloud really meant one thing, provider, and really infrastructure as a service. But there's been so much change since then. The maturity across the entire cloud ecosystem, as well from the vendors out there, as well as the types of services that are coming. And then also other software vendors, taking things, into the cloud, on-prem, at the edge. And when customers look at that, they see that as, you know, multi-cloud to them is their cloud strategy now. Like, they have to think about, like, it's inclusive of hybrid, everything.
So I think that's right. And I think the hybrid thing is interesting because for the longest time, it seemed to be something like consultants talked about. Like, it's going to be important. And then it wasn't actually happening. But then just recently, we've been engaging with, like, enterprises, and it has changed. There is no doubt that, you know, hybrid, and, you know, for the longest time as well, there were some vested interests that were like, oh no, that's a bad idea, you know, only an idiot would do that. And then you're like, well, I don't know, that's just what the market wants. And so I think that the hybrid multi-cloud, they've converged, and customers are definitely looking to do both. And so is that like basically kind of the VMware? Like, let's work back from the customer. What does the customer want? And, you know, like, what are you giving them then?
Yeah, I will agree with you on, like, you know, hybrid is now, like, it's almost like de facto, right? With multi-cloud, what we hear from customers is that, you know, as a business, what they want is to just, they want to enable their teams to have use the right tool for the job. Right. And if you especially look at enterprises, right, and they are, you know, global, you know, multinational organizations, right, they're serving many lines of businesses, and they're operating businesses in many different countries. Mm-hmm. That gets really complicated. So the level of where you're going to standardize changes. Like, I can't standardize and say, like, it's always only going to be XYZ provider, because with data sovereignty, what have you, things are more complicated. So we're taking that into consideration for what we're building from a multi-cloud point of view. So there's a journey. You know, people will continue to have data centers to some mm-hmm. to some level. People will be adopting cloud, the big name cloud providers, and they'll also be looking at regional cloud providers, right? And that mix to them is like, they want to be able to use the tools they have, embrace new tools, mm-hmm. and then do that in a way that's not going to break everything, So, yeah, so VMware's point of view is you should be able to use multiple clouds. Mm-hmm. You know, every place out there that runs compute is a place that you should be able to run an application. Whether that is an application that you have been running for, you know, decades, or it's a new system of engagement that you plan to build, and be able to integrate all that together. So that's really what we're doing from a VMware multi-cloud perspective.
So consistency of management model, consistency of deployment across multiple targets, consistency of observability, those sorts of things consistent across these different options. Standards, I think, was a really interesting word you used there, because I've been thinking a lot about guardrails. Like, what are the guardrails? Because we've had a bit of sort of wild west in cloud. Everyone's like, just, you know, use whatever. It starts with credit cards. Cost can get out of control. With Kubernetes, definitely the wild west. Oh, just go and do it. You've got like these, you know, massive asset management companies that are normally sort of quite worried about security and things like that. And they're doing this like, oh, we're doing Kubernetes now. We're going to hire all of these, you know, web developers and just tell them to build things and worry about security later. And they're like, well, how many compliance people do you have on the team? And they're like, nobody. We'll worry about that later. Yeah. But this is banking. So there's been, you know, a few dimensions of Wild West. And then also the fact that wait a minute, not everybody has all the skills. So the platform owners. So I think guardrails, where the organization can define a bit more how the platform will be used. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we need in, and these things are coming together, that sort of cloud native Kubernetes world, and the business of cloud deployment. I think that there's much more need for enterprises are looking for standardization. And you mentioned sort of data sovereignty. Again, I need to be able to say, sure, we have optionality, but this data doesn't go over there. So I think that, you know, that's the sort of the context that I'm seeing. Is guardrails, I mean, does that resonate in terms of like what you're doing with multi-cloud and what VMware is doing?
100%. And I agree with you, because we see this as, you know, it's an evolution of what we say governance, right? Guardrails or governance. And it's, you know, I think it's a balance of, you know, balancing how fast you want to go and how much to lock things down. And lock things down is the wrong word, in that it's, how can you go super fast without breaking things? Because there's very important things that you don't want to break, depending on the business you are, the regulations you have to comply to, et cetera, right?
You're right. Lockdown is a very sensitive subject at the moment.
Retract that statement. But it's really, I had a really interesting conversation with a customer recently, GfK. They're based out of Germany, right?
Okay.
And they do a lot of, they do custom data analytics software for their customers, right? And so they have been a longtime VMware customer, started out with data center virtualization, and they saw that for their business to go faster, they needed to do hybrid cloud, right? Marry the infrastructure that they have, as well as like extending that out to like the things we love about the cloud, how it's, you know, instantly available, like you can scale it anytime, and bring that together. So what they found is, like, for that, they're going to do a consistent deployment model and consistent infrastructure. So the aspect of like the standard infrastructure that VMware provided across private and public cloud was great. But for their, to also add to their innovation, they have lots of apps that they already have. They have custom stuff that they build. They also look to the services that cloud providers have, right? Some of the native cloud services, because if it's already delivered as a managed service, why should I build that tool? So they wanted to bring those together. And so what they've done is ultimately their infrastructure team has evolved so that they not only deliver services like a cloud of the stuff that they own in their data center, mm-hmm. they're bringing that together with, they're extending that into the public cloud. And then they're bringing, they're publishing the like the native AWS services into a single catalog. Okay. And then what they do is they provide, they're actually now, depending on the service it is, the level of involvement is different. They're trying to govern based on, hey, let me help you figure out how much you need. Then let me give you all the tools so that you can shift left and operate, you know, the app owner should be the one kind of watching this thing over time.
Yep.
We will govern by monitoring. And if we see things going outside of a normal band, or if we can help you optimize or tune it so that we're better managing to compliance or financials so that you get better margins out of your this business, that is what we're going to help you do. Not just, and it's, so it's that kind of governance to improve how the business is operating.
So I actually just wanted, and I made the joke about lockdown, because here's the thing for me that actually, I just think people get really confused about what freedom is. Like, you know, freedom is having no, I can choose anything I want whenever I want or whatever. But honestly, that's sort of a drag. Like, that's why I don't like going to big supermarkets. There's like choice anxiety. There's just the overheads of too much choice. And freedom is sometimes, yeah, I mean, I think freedom, yeah, comes with responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And so for me, there's a sort of, the lockdown thing is an interesting time, but it platform owners need their users to be more productive, and mm-hmm. productivity doesn't come from saying to the user, you sort it out, right? The productivity doesn't come from throwing a bunch of possibilities over the transom and saying, just have at it. That just outsources a problem actually onto the user or onto the developer. So I do think, and that's a bit what I'm saying about guardrails. That's a great example. I mean, have you got some other customers doing that sort of thing, or are they more advanced, would you say, or?
I think as we see the ones that are kind of, many of the ones that are starting to embrace hybrid cloud and start to actually look at hybrid cloud and multi-cloud and are spending a good amount of time on like, what is that management interface, mm-hmm. right? The whole idea of like, what is the service catalog? It is having that curated experience, evolving to having like a cloud center of excellence model, as well mm-hmm. as like doing some, having work streams with like application teams and the IT teams to say like, what are things you need? And let us help you bring that in a way that, you know, it is compliant so that we're not kind of, you know, blocking you at deploy, right? Production deploy, but we're able to partner with you on finding the right services, making mm-hmm. sure that they're curated in, and then we'll take care of all the other things. So, because what you want to do is you want to use these types of tools, right? And then we're here to help you make sure that's done in a way that's not, gonna slow you down. You know, I think ultimately, like you say, productivity, they want to go fast. Mm-hmm. I think GFK, because it's the most recent example, and we actually, there's a whole 20-minute conversation with the customer that's published on how they did this.
Okay.
It's great because it's like, it's an evolving role for them. They have all these like subgroups on people in the company that are really interested in cloud or, you know, AI or whatever, like different types of services. And they'll meet with those teams to figure out what are the curated services that need to come in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to, I don't know if I can say this. Is this rude? But anyway, Germans do like rules. So if we're going to have a geography where, well, they like structure, they like governance, maybe that's mm-hmm. a more polite way of saying it. They like process. And with all that in mind, yeah, I can imagine that they're sort of an interesting test bed for some of the things that other geos are likely to start looking at. I mean, look, geopolitics isn't getting any easier. And in fact, the infrastructures we're using are not getting any easier. So I do think that those great questions around how we offer curation is a great word.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, I mean, I had an interesting one. Your colleagues in the Tanzu organization. So Tanzu is VMware's Kubernetes portfolio for building and running and managing cloud native applications, Kubernetes stuff. I think have got an interesting idea that historically Pivotal was like, we've got the strong opinion about how things should be done. They're now on this sort of, how do we allow the customer to define an opinion of, define an opinion about how these infrastructure services are used. So I think it's interesting. Well, I guess, you're working with your colleagues, but both of you are coming at that sort of curation mm-hmm. angle in a way to potentially benefit the customer. And the customer, before we sort of close, I think I do want to talk about like who is the customer? Like when you, from the perspective of thinking about, okay, this is what I'm seeing in market, but who are you serving when you, from a product management perspective, like what, who are those persona and how do you see that evolving?
Yeah, I'd say within within multi-cloud specifically, it is still, it is very much the infrastructure teams, right? Because, but that the definition of the infrastructure team is kind of evolving as we see more of these platform teams, right? It's not the same as the traditional INO. I think it's now a blend, but they're all involved because ultimately there is, there's a team that has to kind of procure, govern, and then deliver like underlying infrastructure services and, you know, app platform services so that development teams can build and deploy applications. So it is still, it's kind of like two-part customers. Like we definitely need the app line of business and the development teams to be bought into this. Like they have to find value in this, right? Does it meet the needs that they have? But it is so that we can, but our primary persona is the infrastructure and platform teams that have to serve their internal customer.
Okay. So I know that we're going to be drilling into that. I think we're going to do more shows. It's great talking to you. We're going to be talking again. I think we'll start wrapping this up. Do you have any sort of a call to, is there a particular resource, something people, if people are thinking about, like, you know, I'm interested in a platform vendor or a partner for this new optionality. What do you have a call to action? Is there a particular thing? Should they watch that video you mentioned, or what would you, you know, if you were going to say to our viewers, like, what should they do?
Yeah, I'd say just a couple weeks ago we had our multi-cloud briefing on July 12th, and that actually I think that'd be a great place to start. You can see this face again talking about it, but it really lays out like what is our multi-cloud strategy for customers to be able to embrace all of the things, but do it in a way that makes sense for them. And then actually the big thing is it dives into the multi-cloud kind of management and operations. What does that cloud operating model look like so that you can have, you can think about it from the perspective of guardrails. And that's where some two great customer vignettes are featured, discussions, GFK and Salesforce. Okay. And then we have a longer discussion around what do we mean by bringing all multiple clouds together.
Awesome. Love guardrails. Love the this is what we're seeing. We're seeing this convergence for sure. Higher order services as well. I mean, higher is definitely going to be, if you can say, like there isn't going to be, or multi-cloud isn't going to be, it's like, well, there will never be any more acquisitions. And we can pretty much rest assured that there will be. So Betty, I want to say thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon, but I had an idea. So I don't know whether I've got an idea because you are the selfie queen. And I was wondering if we could, like, I don't know if we can even do this, but what,
I think so.
Ah, okay. There we go. Selfie.
I love it.
That's not the same as a real selfie, but I didn't think that we could do a show without some kind of selfie. That was great. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for coming. And that's a conversation with Redmond.